fed up. Structure, discipline, accountability.
Mistreatment, misrepresentation.
Knowledge is power, y'all.
There has to be accountability.
This pandemic of toxic work culture and mistreatment has got to stop.
The podcast for federal employees by federal employees.
What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Fed Up. I'm your host, Ron Speakman. And today, we're going to be picking back up where we left off from last week with my guest, Chris Helms, with Federal Injury Centers, where we just finished talking about compliance. Now, Chris, Federal Injury Centers is just one piece of the puzzle that brings added value to us federal employees. And it's perhaps one of the biggest pieces to that puzzle, but you also have other platforms as well that can help federal employees and union leaders, such as Wednesday night OWCP chats with Chris and Jeannie, which is every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Facebook Live. You have your website called Breaking OWCP, in addition to writing three books, and actually a fourth book as we speak you're working on, but also a podcast dropping soon that we will talk about in just a minute. So talk to me, Chris. Wednesday night OWCP chats with Chris and Jeannie, which again, every Wednesday night at 8 p.m., Facebook Live. I know about this platform and I have helped people through the years with this platform from time to time when I've been on there as far as postal employees go. But for our listeners out there, can you explain a little regarding this platform and how it also brings added value to us federal employees and unions?
So Wednesday night OWCP chats with Chris and Jeannie, I think is the most important thing that's ever happened in OWCP. Look, that's saying a lot, and it probably makes me sound super cocky, but nobody ever accused me of not being cocky, really, actually. But I think Wednesday night chats is the most significant, most important thing that's ever happened at OWCP, because you have people in, I would say at this point, probably 60-70% of the country doesn't have access to not just a federal injury center's doctor, but to any doctors. And I mean, imagine you have no access to doctors. The only ones that you can go to want to take your health insurance. They'll never get your claim approved. You'll never receive benefits. That's awful. And so what I'm able to do with Jeannie, and by the way, Wednesday Night Chats was Jeannie's brilliant idea. I wish it was mine, but it was her idea. Thank God. We're able to help people every week. And not just on Wednesday nights. You send us a private Facebook message, we answer it today. If when we're on live, and we're on live on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok, and new platforms in the future, I'm sure. But when you come to our live trainings, and that's what they are, they're trainings. I'm teaching you about OWCP topics and making it so that it's easy to understand because it's complicated. But you're able to go in there and get your questions asked and answered. So any problem you're having today, you should not be having tomorrow. And that's significant because what's happened is it's clearing up people's cloudiness, clearing up their lack of understanding of the system. And it's, in a lot of ways, I'm sort of like in their corner. And so they feel empowered and less scared of supervisors who would otherwise want to retaliate and hurt them. So Wednesday night chats is it's a big deal. And, we're still just barely scratching the surface on people that see it. We do have about a potential audience of 450,000 people a week who for sure are following various platforms and pages where we post our live videos on. So that's a little bit of an impact, but there's almost 3 million federal employees. So we're trying to reach more people. And on Wednesday night chats, there's no strings attached. And it's free, first of all. Everything I do is free to you and your people out there. So it's all free. But it's for anyone, even if you don't go to one of my offices. And like I said, 70% of this country doesn't have an office to go to anyways. So there's no strings attached. We're just here to help in every way possible. And I think Wednesday Night Chats is the best thing that's ever happened to federal workers' comp.
Absolutely. And also to go off that some more, you get answers in real time. You don't have to wait for those answers right now. Right. Just like when should you report that injury? Right now. Right
now. Yeah. It's as soon as possible time to do anything now.
Absolutely. Listen, I love the platform. And also listen to my listeners out there. Tune in, guys. Again, Wednesday night, OWCP chats with Chris and Jeannie. Every Wednesday night, again, on Facebook Live starting at 8 p.m. Make sure you got a pen and a pad and take those notes, because there's also, in addition to his training, to Chris's training that he does, we have union storts, we have union presidents, not just from the NALC, but from different unions and different crafts who are on there to help out as well. And that's what this involved into. It started out with Chris and Jeannie doing this training, and now it's a training where all our brothers and sisters are coming to, not just for work comp stuff, but also to help you with your grievances or your 2499s or whatever the case is, your 3971s. They're helping you with all this stuff. So, you know, tune in. And again, whatever our brothers and sisters are going through out there with management in regards to their on-a-job work injury, all I got to say is tune in, grab your pen and pad, and take those notes, because you're going to learn. Now, Chris, your third platform that you have up and running is called Breaking OWCP, which is also where people can get the downloaded versions of your books that you wrote right to their computer or phone. Can you talk more about this website? And again, tell our listeners how this brings added value to us federal employees and unions.
So in, you know, when the COVID lockdown first happened, Jeannie and I together were flying on average 54 times every 52 weeks, the 2 years prior to COVID hitting. And that was primarily to do OWCP training with the union groups. We were all over the place doing this. And then overnight we were locked down like everyone else, except for you, because you were essential workers and I wasn't. And now I'm thinking, well, gosh, how do I get to people and help? Because I'm still not doing enough. And today I'm still not doing enough. But then I didn't think I was doing enough either. And so I said, all right, well, I'm going to write a book. So I did. And it took 3 days. And it was the second book I ever wrote, but it was the first book I ever wrote about OWCP. And it was, as I understood, the first comprehensive book ever on OWCP.
Right.
So I got it out in 3 days, like literally to the printer by day three. I didn't sleep much for 3 days because it was just all in my head. It wasn't scripted. I just dropped it.
You're a beast.
Well, the second book took longer and the third book took longer as well. But what I realized is with each book, I realized there's more I could say. So I just put it in a second book and then I put it in a third book. And now the fourth book is I'm going to combine all three because people have requested it. You know, if you wanted something else, I'd do whatever the something else is. I've been requested to put them in audiobooks. I'm going to do that. Now that I've got my podcast equipment, I can record audiobooks as well. So, you know, I'm basically doing what I'm requested. If someone asks for it, I give it, right? And the cost of these books are enough so that I can print more books in the future. Okay, if anybody out there has ever written a book, you know that unless you're famous, you're not making money off of it, right? So this isn't a profit machine for me. It's just one more avenue for education. And I happen to enjoy it because I'm sort of a nerd. So these books serve that purpose. They are at breakingowcp.com. Not like Breaking Bad. I didn't like that. I watched like half of the first season and hated it. Who watches loser people doing losing things and feel happy about it? So I had to stop doing that. But Breaking OWCP is titled that because, in my opinion, that's what the system does to people when they're hurt.
Absolutely.
And I'm here to turn that around.
And thank God you are. Chris, I want to talk more about those books. I know just how much knowledge and information your books have. Because when I was injured and I went back to work on my 2499 modified job assignment, while waiting a whole week before they finally got my approval to work within a system that supervisors have access to, it's called C360s. You handle customer complaints. But I propped my feet up and I read your books at the supervisor's desk, mind you, reading your books during this week that I was on basically standby, but yet I clocked in. And I could tell you firsthand that the number of things that I've learned from your books was huge. Not only did it help me with my situation, but it also helped me in helping others as well. So I just want to say thank you for those books. Well done on those books. And we look forward to the fourth book. Absolutely. And
it's the fifth book that you're going to really like.
Oh, yes. We're going to listen. That's going to be the surprise for everybody. Both on your end, but also you never know. I might write a book on my end as well. So stay tuned with that. But now for the big news here, Chris, you will be having a fourth platform to share your endless sea of information and knowledge, hence adding even more value to us federal employees and unions, which is a podcast dropping very soon. So tell us, Chris, what will the name of this podcast be and what day and time will it take place so we can all tune in? But also, What is it going to entail? Is there going to be live, just like a Facebook Live, what you do in Wednesday night chats, or will you be taking callers or interviewing people, answering live questions? What exactly would this podcast entail, and what is it going to be called?
Well, not surprisingly, it'll be called the Breaking OWCP Podcast.
All right.
And the branding matters because it's easy for people to remember. So I'm not going to trick it up. If you know me and you know my books, you'll be able to find my podcast everywhere that podcasts can be found. And, you know this, Ron, it's an idea that I've had and I've talked with you about for months, and it's the slowest thing on my task list, right? Because it hasn't gotten done yet, but we're almost there. We have, I would say it's going to be about another month, which is a really long delay for a guy like me who has no patience, but I'm remodeling my office at home and turning it into a studio, so that I can do things like record a podcast and record audiobooks. With a house full of kids and dogs who, you know, want to be loud and keep me from doing the things I need to do. So, yeah, that's in process. I'm really excited about being able to get that set up. It's going to be recorded, obviously, just probably like yours is, but it'll also be live on social media at the same time. See, Jeannie and I got into this teaching on Facebook Live. And so Facebook Live is sort of like the flagship for us. It's home base.
Sure.
And so while we're going to be recording our podcast, people are going to get to watch sort of like the backstory of how the whole thing happened, because we're going to just play it live while it's being recorded. So, you know, the recorded edited version will come out on podcast platforms, but some people who want to see it are going to have an opportunity to just watch it right now in real time. So that's going to be fun too, because that will give everyone an opportunity to ask questions in the chat, just like Wednesday night chats. And so it's just one more way that I can answer your questions now for anybody that's got questions. So it's almost an extension of Wednesday Night Chats, right? But it's the Breaking OWCP Podcast. Jeannie will be on there as well. It's not just me. Nobody really wants to see or hear from me. She's the one. And so she'll be there as well. And, you know, we'll have a good time. It won't be very scripted. Nothing I do is. I'm used to doing live talk and it just shooting from the hip. And so this podcast will be that, but the real upside to it, just to sort of finish it up, is that people will be able to listen while they're working. You know, carriers can have it playing in their earphones, playing Absolutely. Off the podcast app on their phone. And so, you know, in this, especially on the West Coast, when I start at 8 Eastern, it's 5 o'clock on Pacific time. There's still work. And so we really struggle getting to people live. And when we can't catch them live, they're not able to answer their questions. You know, ask their questions in real time, right? They got to wait. So I'm also trying to do something so that I can reach more people around the country, because you can just do it during the course of your job.
Right. And listen, I can't wait for this to drop, but I also can't wait to be a part of your show as well, brother. You know that, right?
Yeah. And that's another part of the question you asked me. What's the format going to be? Well, okay, well, it'll be live. It'll be recorded live. And then, yeah, I'll be doing interviews. I like doing interviews. I think it's important to get other people's take on things. It's easy to just stay in my own head and say, here's what I think. But I like to hear, you know, what you think, what my brother Richie Ray thinks. You know, I like to know what, you know, Kenny Hodge thinks, and, you know, what do the doctors think? And I like to bring on, you know, friends of mine from the federal world, like yourself. What do you think? And so, you know, we're going to get the perspective of a lot of different people, not just me.
Right.
And so that's going to be fun.
It's absolutely coming for the people. It's by the people for the people. That's awesome. I love it.
Right. Yeah.
Now, Chris, there's a big story out there. It's not current, but I know it's a story amongst us federal employees that you hold dear. And I think all federal employees need to hear this story in regards to the on-job work injury. And that story is regarding your friend Scott, who has been through it all. I wouldn't ask you to do this if I didn't know that Scott would be okay with you sharing his story a little bit, because I know that Sure. He is, but can you share his story for my listeners? Not only do I want the audience to see how this guy has never gave up and never quit, despite all he's been through, I want to point out that you did what no one else wanted or could do, and that's to get his case accepted despite years of obstacles, and it proves that you never gave up on him either. So please, if you don't mind, could you share a little bit about that story?
I never give up on anybody, ever. It's in our bylaws. We just never quit.
Right.
But Scott's a very personal story to me. There may be, there's probably two or three of these out there that are really, really near to my heart. Nobody is nearer to my heart than Scott is. But I met his mom on a telephone call a long time ago, years and years ago, 5-6 years ago. And 2 or 3 years prior to that phone call, Scott fell, hit his head, had a horrific knot on his head, which caused him to have a stroke. Now, you can find his whole story told by him on Wednesday Night Chats because he came on live and allowed me to interview him.
Yes, I remember.
So all that. This is public record already. But yeah, he had this horrific knot, ended up with a stroke. And then OWCP said, no, the stroke did not cause the fall. So, or the fall did not cause a stroke.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if they said that, good Lord.
Yeah, the fall didn't cause a stroke. It gets complicated, but basically what they said is it's not our fault. We'll cover that bump on your head, but we're not going to cover that stroke
right. That
the bump caused. And it was always my opinion, because he was a young guy when it happened, that,
right.
Well, surely a knot that size on his head could lead to a head injury that could lead to a stroke, right? Well, OWCP said no. And they, so he had a doctor who said yes, and OWCP sent him to a second opinion doctor who said no.
Shocker.
So now we're down two to one, right? So
right.
to speak. And in the score column, we're losing 2-1.
Right.
So we find another neurologist who said yes. Now we're tied 2-2, right? So what do? They found another neurologist. Now, how many second opinions do you get? That's interesting. Somebody should look this up, but he had several.
Wow.
And several second opinions. There's nothing in the laws for thirds and fourth opinions, by the way, just so you know.
Right.
So now we're like, all right, what are we going to do? And in the process, this doctor he was working with, who I don't want to name that name now, but in the future I will. The doctor he's working with, it was too hard, didn't want to spend time on it. Surely was not getting paid to do the work, which we don't care, but he did. He wasn't part of the franchise. And he allowed Scott's reconsideration deadline to pass. And so what happened is we lost the ability to go back and reconsider the medical opinions because it was over. If you miss your 12-month reconsideration deadline, you don't get to do a reconsideration. So I was very devastated. And Jeannie and I were having lunch with Scott and his parents. Because we've become close family friends. Okay, Scott, Tammy, Dave, they're family to me, and that's how I am. I love people, but these ones I really love. Okay, and so we're having lunch, and I got to be honest with you. You know, I'm having a hard time looking at Scott in the eye and his mom because, you know, he was at a doctor who I knew. Okay, who dropped the ball and dropped the ball in the worst possible way that can't be picked up, and. Jeannie said something and whatever she said hit me just right and my eyes just teared up. And I realized that they left the window open. Although we missed that reconsideration deadline, he has an accepted claim for a contusion on his head. And that was their fatal mistake. Approving anything is what they did wrong because we did a diagnosis expansion to add the stroke to that bump on his head. And then it took time. Tammy called me one night at like 10 o'clock at night. You know, she's under strict orders to call me at the second anything happens, no matter what. So she said, hey, I got this letter that says that a second opinion doctor agrees with you, Chris. It's like, wait, what? So I told her to call and leave a voicemail so the claim examiner would have to do something with it. She did that. Lo and behold, the claim got accepted due to our diagnosis expansion. We never gave up. And it gives me chills right now. It makes the hair on the back of my neck raise up because it's the unwinnable claim. You're not going to get strokes approved, heat attacks, heat exhaustion, you know, heat strokes. Those things aren't going to get approved because it's hard to prove that they have a direct connection to the job. The Scott's was directly connected to the damn job. He fell down, he hit his head and had a stroke. The fact that everyone else couldn't see this was mind-blowing. And the triple board certified neurologist from the University of Rutgers, who was the chair at the University of Rutgers, wrote a letter that essentially said, what the hell are you people doing? And the claim got approved. And it made it to him because I believe the claim examiner looked at our diagnosis expansion report and she probably said, shit, here it goes. And that's just how it goes. But that was, I don't like to pat myself on the back at the expense of Scott, because he's still going through some stuff. But as a result of getting that claim accepted, he gets lifetime medical benefits. When I first met him, he couldn't stand up out of his wheelchair. Now he can walk without a cane. Where are we going next? I don't know, but it's better than this. And that's the upside, is that he gets the chance to get better for the rest of his life.
Yeah, absolutely.
He never gave up.
Absolutely.
Well, and his mother never gave up. You know, she was a driving force, okay, as mothers can be. She was the driving force with like hurricane strength winds.
And that's huge.
To make sure this thing happened. And I just told her on day one, Tammy, if you never give up, I'll never give up. That's my only stipulation. Never quit, because I'm going to put all of my life energy into this. And she never gave up.
Get better. But also, he never gave up. I mean, eight years, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you remember from all that, which was having that conversation with mom, but also with Scott. And listen, you never did give up. So you know what? I'm going to pat you in the back. Great fucking job.
Thank you.
We can't control what OWCP, Department of Labor, do with their second opinions, their third opinions, their fourth opinions, their fifth opinions, whatever the case is, their denials. But we can control what we do.
That's right.
So never give up, guys. And that was the whole point. I wanted you to share that story for the listeners, man. Scott, if you're ever listening to this, man, we love you. Great job for never giving up, man. We're proud of you. And listen, you're an inspiration to us all who are going through it. Hopefully I can get you on the show one day to share your story. Cause I mean, you're a precedent for all those who want to give up. So you are that case law, if you will, in this case, for everybody to never give up. But Chris, you said something interesting in sharing that story. And I want to touch on this. It just dawned on me that certain people out there within my union or within other unions, they question, why do you always... Now, this may come down to an opinion, but I want to ask you, for the sake of them, but also for our listeners, why do you always do reconsiderations where times people feel that maybe ECAB's the way to go or another avenue of appeal rights that you have? You always go reconsideration. Can you explain why?
I love reconsiderations because two main things. Now, this is my personal opinion. It does not necessarily reflect the opinion of other people who work in this system, okay? But I like reconsiderations for two things. One, it gives you a 12-month window with which to file an appeal. Now, in OWCP, it's loaded with deadlines, and if you miss a deadline, it's over. And one of the deadlines happens to have, or appeals, they're, you know, all of them have certain deadlines. But a 12-month window is a huge window. And so I like that. That's number one. And number two, it allows you to use new medical information from your doctor. So every denial comes with a letter that says specifically your claim was denied because blank. Well, when your doctor reads that, they can fix it in a new narrative report. And I like having the doctors able to speak for the patient. And that's what happens when that narrative report is e-comped, right, to go along with the appeal request form. And we have massive success with reconsiderations. Now, that's not to say that you can't have success and with the other, you know, review the written record, which I think is the biggest waste of damn time of all time. Hey, let's do a review of the written record that we already used to review and deny your claim. No new information? Okay, that's a fail. But, you know, your union loves doing oral hearings. I got no problem with oral hearings because it allows for new medical information. And I love that. But the window is like 30 days. And that's what I don't love. And the other thing I don't love is it sort of puts the patient on the spot because it's a hearing. And that's a little intimidating. Now, I put federal employees ahead of myself. Let me tell you something. I can do math. And I know that 30 days is faster than 12 months. I understand. I get it.
Yes.
That in a perfect world is better. The problem is it's intimidating and it requires representation, you know, and which is why I think your union does it, because you effectively represent people in that way. I mean, you and I may disagree on that, but I think overall you guys effectively do representation when it comes to these hearings. I think it's good. And I have no problem with these hearings. None whatsoever. I like making it as easy as possible for the claimant. And the easiest possible thing to do for a claimant is let the doctor do the work. And in a reconsideration, that's how it goes. The doctor does all the work. And the other thing I like about reconsiderations is you can do an infinite number of them. This guy, Gilbert, who I got his claim approved, another guy after 8 years, the one thing Gilbert did is he never missed an appeal deadline. He kept his claim alive. And so 8 years later, I was able to get it accepted. And, you know, those types of things leave a mark on me. I remember that Gilbert needed 8 years. I remember exactly what it took to get his claim accepted, a witness statement. I know Scott took 8 years, and I remember exactly what it took to get his claim accepted, a diagnosis expansion. I know exactly what it took to get Tanya's claim accepted in Vegas. I know exactly what it took to get every hard claim accepted. And the one thing that made it possible was knowing we had a 12-month reconsideration deadline. And even if they miss every other deadline, they didn't miss that one. So I like reconsiderations. And if I sound passionate, it's only because I like winning a lot, and we do that a lot.
Absolutely. No, I'll tell you what I get a lot, because I'm so passionate, just like you. You sound angry, Chris.
Well, passion often comes out that way.
I just had to say that because I get that all the time too, so I can relate. But but Chris, in saying that, you mentioned about, well, since we're on the appeals, right? Written view of the record, ECAD, yeah. Reconsideration. Now, if you don't have to share the story if you don't want to, but I want to make a point with what I want to say. So, but again, I'm not going to be offended if you don't want to share it. But there's another story that I would love for you to share for our listeners out there. And it's the story where you went to see a national union official at his office, and I believe it was in Florida, and you asked him what all that was on his desk. Are you able to share that story, or you don't want to?
No, I'll tell the story. I'm going to leave out names, positions, and union names. Okay?
Sure. Because don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm not looking to make enemies, but this factually did happen.
No.
So I visited a regional union rep and had 5 minutes to speak with her. And I was being rushed out, like, as fast as I got there, they were trying to get me out of there. Right. And got to go into the office, and I saw all these stacks of files everywhere. And I can't exaggerate what I mean when I say everywhere. On top of the file cabinet, in the file cabinet, on the desk, around the desk, you know, like every preposition you can think of, there's a file.
Right.
And I said, "What are those?" She said, "Appeals." Appeals. All of those appeals are meant for one person to handle. Now, I think that particular organization has more help now than it did then. But the numbers of appeals were startling. They weren't they were startling, not surprising. Okay. It's when you do the math, it's simple. There's 200,000 members of this group, and not nearly enough people to service the 200,000. That's just how it goes. That's life. Look, there's one of me and 3 million of you. That's just how it goes. But these appeals were, you know, frustrating for me, because all I can think about is I could fix every one of them.
Right. Exactly.
I could fix them all.
Yes, sir.
And look, to unions, I'll say this. I am not just saying this. Okay. I mean it. I love and appreciate the fact that unions have OWCP help. I love it. I say all the time. I just said it to the APW OWCP guy. But look, there's not enough of us doing what we do, meaning him and me. We need more help, not less. So I admire that there are people out there that are willing to roll their sleeves up and get their hands dirty and try to help. Okay, I love it. But you got to know that there's never been a single OWCP claim approved without a medical doctor. Period. And the last I checked, unions don't employ MDs. So that's the value of working together in sort of a partnership. And I'm using air quotes, and I'm using the term partnership loosely, but that's the value of it. Because, like, I know that there's very little I can do for someone when they cross over into the line of the agency. All I can do, I did already. The ball's in the air. Okay, I gave you the information. You got to go do something with it. But when you get into the agency, you've got these powerful things called stewards. And I believe stewards can be a powerhouse in OWCP. And I respect
they can be.
You've got OWCP reps that should know at least half of what I do. Okay. And if they did, they'd know a hell of a lot more than any supervisor who's dumb or playing dumb. So,
correct.
You know, I respect that. But the union's got to understand that you've never gotten a claim approved that didn't have a doctor's signature on it. And everyone knows it's hard to find doctors who are willing to do this work. Everyone knows it. And the ones that are willing to do the work that aren't part of my company do it for pay. They do it for cash. They don't do it out of the goodness of their heart. Okay. When they get a patient, they weigh the value, the dollar value of that patient up against the dollar value of other patients they could be treating instead. Think about that. Because what makes it hard to find doctors. And that's why I only have 50 and not 500. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And so I just want the unions to understand that I respect and love you, but you got to know that without good doctors, you're nowhere. And we can work together. All the unions. Now, you know, I'd say 70% of the union force is with me on that. Okay. And unfortunately, we're dealing with a small percentage of people who aren't. But I think they can be turned around. You know, they could come around to my way of thinking when they realize there's no good reason otherwise.
Well, that might happen when they go through the process themselves and find themselves in the same situation that our brothers and sisters find themselves
in.
Man,
it's all fun and games till it's you. I know. I'd say the same thing to supervisors. Say, buddy, it's all fun and games until you're knocking on my door.
Yep.
But guess what? I treat supervisors as good as I treat anybody else. That may not please people. That may not please the audience here, but I do. I treat everybody with the same respect. You come in as a patient, you get my help, period.
Absolutely. Well, I was going to say, even the supervisors have, you know, a union, you know, called NAPS, National Association of Postal Supervisors. Even the postmasters have one.
Oh, I've got a postmaster as a patient in one of my offices right now.
There you go. See,
how about that?
We don't hate or discriminate. Open door policy, baby. You know, collaboration, not separation.
We
should be working together.
You know who else we have as patients? Everywhere. Who? FBI agents.
There you go.
There are patients.
How about correctional officers?
Oh, we've helped all kinds of law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, just understand, we know what we're doing. We respect everyone. We keep a high level of compliance as a result, and we win.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that story. And listen, you're right. You hit the nail on the head, man. You saw she even said those were all appeals. Now think about this. Why are we getting appeals? Because a NIAR report isn't being written.
Right. There was a denial.
One of those five basic elements weren't being met. That's why you got a denial.
Yeah.
Think about now what I would have said to her was, what if I could get rid of half to a quarter, even all of these appeals for you, and help you do that on your own?
Well, I would have needed a 6 minute in that office to have that conversation, but I was out of the
I understand. But my point is just this. It's that was then and this is now. I understand. But are we that far off, that different from then till now? No, because our brothers and sisters are going elsewhere. They're searching elsewhere for help. So the problem is still there. Be part of the solution, again, not the problem. Collaboration, not separation. And when I say get your head out your ass, I don't mean it as it's not a term of endearment, but I'm not trying to be disrespectful either. I'm just pointing out the obvious that, listen, we have help here. They help them help you. Help us.
Yeah.
That's it. And saying all this, I want to have a message to the union, and that's basically, listen, guys, any kind of position in the union, local or nationally speaking, in any kind of the union and whatever craft, there's a reason why our members, our brothers and sisters are going elsewhere for help outside the union. We're failing them. They're not getting the representation they deserve and need. Some members are getting left behind while others get the help they need. If you're overworked, understaffed, or overwhelmed, please have the conversation with Chris Helms and Federal Injury Centers. They can help. Work with Federal Injury Centers, not against them, especially since your members, our brothers and sisters, are already going here for help, and Federal Injury Centers are getting more claims approved and accepted for us, even the difficult ones that everyone else gives up on. Please have the conversation. Ask as many questions as you see fit. Get to know Chris, and I guarantee that you will come to know that he does have the best interest of our members at heart, and that his integrity as a man and the compliance as a businessman is next to none. He's the truth, y'all. He's just like some of you out there at the national level within my union or other unions, just like y'all are the truth. Just as, you know, as a few of you I know personally at the national level genuinely care and go above and beyond your job duties to help our members, you will see that Chris and his company, Federal Injury Centers, does the same. All Federal Injury Centers and Chris Helms do is win, win, win. Just like a few of you that I know as well at the national level, that's all you do is win, win, win. So please, sincerely, for all of us that you represent, have a conversation. That's it. Having said that, I want to close out the show with a few quotes as I always do. But before I do, Chris, I want to thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate your time, especially since I know how busy you are. I know the listeners enjoy listening to you as well. And we'll definitely do this again in the near future. But listen, man, thanks again for your time, Chris. I greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm really happy to be here. If you don't mind, I just want to say, if the unions don't want to have the conversation, no problem. I'm not looking for your endorsement anyways. Just don't tell people not to go, because people need help. So that's what I would say. Preventing people from coming to any doctor is preventing people from a fighting chance of getting their claim approved, and that's not fair to them. So I just want to leave it at that.
Well said, Chris. Well said. Couldn't have put it better myself. Listen, to my national union and all national union leaders out there, I also want to say this to you. Everyone wants to be the sun to brighten up someone's life, but why not be the moon to shine in someone's darkest hour? Guys, there's a reason why our members are seeking outside help. We are failing them. Whatever reason or reasons why that is, it's an issue that needs to be fixed and addressed. You have an outside source who has been and who is willing and able and ready still today to help our members. So why not make it a joint effort if it helps our members? If it helps ease the pain and help decrease the number of obstacles our members out there face, why not be that moon to shine in someone's darkest hour before you become that sun to brighten up their day? That's all I'm going to say. And to my listeners out there, never give up, man. Never, ever give up. I got you. Chris and Federal Injury Centers got you. There are a lot of people out here who got your back and will help. You are not alone, just like as Chris's book says in volume 2. You are not alone, right? Your village is out there waiting for you to show up. All you got to do is reach out and ask for help. If you get denied by others, don't give up. Keep searching and find that village to get you through the tough times. You will succeed. That about does it here for us at Fed Up. Please don't forget to like, follow, and share this podcast. And if you are fed up like everyone else is and want to share your story and experiences, your issues and frustrations, and want your voice to be heard, I invite you to be a guest on this show. There's strength in numbers, and together, by sharing our stories, we can and will make the change that is needed. Just send me an email at one.fedup.podcast@gmail.com. Again, that's the number 1.fedup.podcast@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Again, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay safe out there, my friends.